the F Word, Vancouver's explicitly feminist radio show, effing up the airwaves since 2007.
Earlier you heard the Pack AD. That was their song Dear off of the album We Kill Computers. The band is Becky Black and Maya Miller, and they hail from right here in Vancouver. If you haven't heard of them, I suggest you check them out. They have a great sound. The F Word is a syndicated show produced in Vancouver, BC, Canada, at CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's cooperative radio station. And every Monday from noon to 1, we broadcast live from the downtown east side of Vancouver, unceded Coast Salish territory. I'm Katie, one of your hosts for today.
And I'm your other host, Nicole. Today we're featuring a few Canadian women's bands. In particular, we'll play some Pack AD, Peaches, and some Hunter Valentine. Plus, Katie spoke with Laura... Oh, how do you say it, Katie?
Petraca.
Laura Petraca from Hunter Valentine. And we'll play that very interesting interview for you later in the show. We're going to play some more Pack AD now. This is a song off their newest album, Unpersons. This track is called Haunt You. Listening to Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. This is the F Word, And the last song you heard was Haunt You by Pack AD. So today we're going to be playing a bunch of female Canadian musicians, and Katie's found a bunch of sweet local bands to play, some right from our own backyard here in Vancouver.
So a little bit about Becky Black and Maya Miller of the Pack AD. They're from East Van, more specifically, and Becky does vocals while Maya does the drums. They have 4 studio albums released. The first, called Tin Type, was self-released in 2007, then re-released by their record label Mint in 2008. Since then, they've released Funeral Mixtape, We Kill Computers, and Unpersons, which was released last year. Unpersons was produced by Jim Diamond, who has also produced the Dirt Bombs and the White Stripes. I actually saw these gals live, I think, around the end of November last year, and it was an awesome show. They played at the Commodore with the Ballantines and No Sinner, who also put on a sweet show. You can always tell a band is quality when you go see them live without being too familiar with their music, but you still have an awesome time and end up leaving an even bigger fan. So next up, we're going to play some Peaches. Peaches is an enigma, to say the least. I'm not super familiar with her and her legacy, but she's from Toronto, and she's been making music since around 1995, I believe. This was before she was known as Peaches, though, and was going by her birth name, Meryl Nisker. Her music is known for being provocative, sexually explicit, and she's also well known in queer and feminist communities for her gender politics subject matter. So we're going to play 2 tracks by Peaches. First up is I Feel Cream, then we're going to play Talk to Me, both from the album I Feel Cream.
Thank you. rolls off your tongue right out your pretty mouth. You've got to see it to believe it, got to see it to believe it, got to see it, got to see it, see it, see it, see it. Say why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me?
I'm Katie Schofield, and this is The F Word. The last songs you heard were by Peaches. First, we had I Feel Cream, followed by Talk to Me. The next band we're going to play is Tegan and Sarah. These gals are twins, Tegan and Sarah Quinn, and were born in Calgary, Alberta. And I've been a fan of them for quite a while now. They've been making music since they were 15, but their first full-length studio album came out in 1999, titled Under Feet Like Ours. Since then, they've put out 6 albums, with their newest due out the 29th of this month. I actually ran into them downtown on Robson Street a couple years ago on Boxing Day. They were coming out of Cherry Bomb, and I was like, holy crap, I have to go talk to them. But I had to follow them a few blocks until we got to a stoplight, you know, not creepy at all. It was funny because I'm so tall and they're quite petite, so I bent down like, excuse me, can I get your autograph, please? And they were super friendly and each gave me their autographs and asked me and my friend how our Christmas was and what we were up to. Very cool. So we're going to play one of my faves from these gals. This is 19 off of their album, The Con.
I felt you in my legs before I ever met you. And when I lay beside you, for the first time I told you. Feel you in my heart.
You just heard Tegan and Sarah's 19, and now we're going to play another song by them off of their album So Jealous, some more old school Tegan and Sarah. It's called Where Does the Good Go?
Where do you go with your broken heart and soul? And what do you do with the left over you? And how do you know when to let go? Where does the good go? Where does the good go?
You just heard Tegan and Sarah's Where Does the Good Go off of So Jealous. Up next, I'm going to play a Vancouver punk rock band called White Lung. I recently discovered these guys when a friend invited me to a show at the Rickshaw. They played with Mellow Hype, who is a hip-hop duo, and a hardcore punk band, Trash Talk. It was an interesting combination of music for sure, but White Lung stuck out the most to me. White Lung has two albums. One is called It's the Evil, released in 2010, and the other one is Sorry, released this year. The band is Mish Way, Kenneth William, Grady McIntosh, and Anne-Marie Vassiliou. The band was also nominated for Punk Hardcore Artist Group of the Year at the 2011 Canadian Music Week Indie Awards. We're going to play you a track from their newest album, Sorry, and it's called Glue.
Oh,
You just heard a track off of White Lung's album, Sorry, and it was called Glue. Now we are going to play you some Hunter Valentine, and these gals are originally from Toronto, and we're actually on the most recent season of Showtime's reality series, The Real L Word. Here's a song from their second album, Lessons from the Late Night. It's called Barbara Jean. You just heard Hunter Valentine's Barbara Jean. Now the band, who is Laura Petraca, Kiyomi McCloskey, Vero Sanchez, and Amy Besada, has been touring since August this year. Last month, I actually got to chat a bit with the band's drummer, Laura Petraca. She was great to interview and had a lot to say, so I'm really glad I got the opportunity. Here is the first segment where Laura talks a bit about her experiences with the band and their music.
Overall, it's been amazing. We couldn't ask for anything better. Like, it's the reaction to the album, a lot of people really love it. Also, the crowds at the shows have been really amazing. Like, people have just really responded well, and we've just been having a blast.
So I'm a recently converted big fan of your music. I discovered you guys from being a longtime fan of the L Word. So I'm really curious about your experience as a band on the show and like gaining that kind of attention, I guess, aside from what you already just explained.
Well, we were really lucky. You know, the Real L Word was a show that I hadn't actually really watched too much of. I had seen a few episodes in the past, but I was definitely an L Word fan. And when we had the opportunity to be on season three, we jumped at it because, you know, it's for us, we took it as a way to sort of, a way to promote our band. You know what I mean? Let's be honest here. You know, we wanted to be able to have, to reach out to so many more people, you know, gay, straight, and lesbian, like everybody, everyone watches that show. It's not a lesbian show that only lesbians watch. It's like, it's unbelievable how many other people actually watch it. So we wanted to be able to get people to know our personalities a little bit better, and also the music. Like, the most important part for us was to let everybody sort of have an insight on touring and what it's like to maintain a relationship as a band. It's kind of like a romantic relationship, obviously without the romance, but like it's in the same field. And so we wanted people to sort of see what it's like from our point of view, and and then also to see our personal lives a little bit as well. So it was a positive thing that we did, and we're really happy that we were actually taken so well. And a lot of the shows that we played in the last 3 months of the tour that we did, we had obviously, you know, returning fans, and we had new fans of the band, and then we also had real L Word fans. And so it sort of was really great to see that, you know, that the show was more than just being on a show. It actually made people interested in the music, and it got them out. So it was a very positive thing. Yeah.
And then you talk about giving some insight into like your guys' relationship with each other and with the band. What really turned me on to you guys was when watching the show, like just aside from the sound of the music, was watching how driven you guys are to succeed. Like, I really loved seeing strong, independent, driven women chasing their dreams. Like, it's totally awesome.
No, absolutely. I mean, Kiyomi and I have been doing this since 2004, mm-hmm. and even before that, but Hunter Valentine kind of shaped in 2004, and it's been a lifetime goal. Like, it was nothing I ever thought I was going to do as a profession until I met Kiyomi. She is extremely driven, and she sort of said to me, you know, I know that you have a cooking career, and I know that you're doing really well at it, but you're a really good drummer, and I think that we should do this. And, you know, 8 years ago or whatever it is now, it's like we made that decision that we were going to do it and we weren't going to give up. And it's been 8 or 9 years now, and we're not giving up. It's like we're no matter what's put in front of us, like we've done 2 record deals. We're on our 3rd album. We've, you know, dealt with so many things, so many issues, and so many positive things that we've decided that we're not going to give up. We're just going to keep going until we're done.
You seem like what came across on the show was that you seem to make sure that what's best for the band and the music is always front and center.
Yeah.
Like you guys want, you know, 150% commitment, 150% of the time, no less. Can you speak a bit about like why music is so important to you?
For me, it's funny, as a sort of a personal answer, which I'm sure you want. But when I was growing up, I was, you know, my family, my uncle and my grandfather, they're drummers.
Oh, yeah.
So growing up, there's always been music and musical influence, especially the drums, and kind of that went back and forth on them. I never really made it my primary sort of thing, but I would play, and then I'd give it up and do something else, and then for some way, there would be some reason for me to play again. I'd either play with a friend's band, or someone would call me up and say, oh, I got this gig, but I need a drummer, and like, so I'd end up always just sort of ending up playing drums for some reason, and I never, ever, ever tried to find it. It always came after me. Like, it
chose
was,
you.
It chose me. I swear it chose me. I never tried to ever do this. It was just, I just had all these opportunities, and I never wanted to put them down. I always said, you know what? Okay, I'll do it. You know, oh, okay, I'll do it. And then I officially decided to end playing drums, and I went to cooking school, and I spent a couple years cooking, and then, of course, I meet Kiyomi. And the same thing happens. And she's like, oh, I'm looking for a drummer. My drummer quit and went to Australia, and now it's just me, and I want to start playing again. I'm thinking, okay, well, then, you know, in my head at that time, I'm thinking, well, I'll give her a shot. Why the hell not? Let me just, you know. And then I was blown away. I'm like, okay, I have to do this. And
yeah.
I haven't stopped. So that's kind of how it became what it is. I guess when we started feeling, we had success very early on in our career. Like within the first 2 years, we had the cover of Now magazine and Extra in Toronto, you know, and like these big sort of things. We had a very quick following. And so when something like that happens, you have to listen to it, you know, you have to say, okay, we got something here. We need to make a change. We need to do something different. Let's just do it. We need more female rock bands out there. There's not enough out there.
Cool.
I want everyone to know that we're a female rock band, you know, and that's what we're doing, and we're playing music, and we want to F shit up, you know what I mean?
What's the band's creation process like? Would you say it varies from song to song, like kind of organic, or do you have a bit of a routine?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Well, since Kiyomi and I have been in this band since the beginning, it's definitely changed from the beginning. So, you know, we went from, you know, she was more of a solid writer, and my old bass player, Adrian, we, you know, would sort of input on everything. And then the second album was more of a collaboration between the three of us. And then this last album had different writers. So it was, you know, our new bass player, Vero, she came in. And what we did is we all sort of went home and did our homework in a way and wrote a bunch of songs and then came to rehearsal. We did sort of 1 month of songwriting, just the three of us. to get some solid songs down, and we all brought our songs to the table, and we just picked the best ones, and that's how it kind of went, and then took those songs and then wrote them together. So, you know, they mainly come from someone. So, like, you know, Liar Liars, you know, Kiyomi wrote that song, and Lonely Crusade, Vero wrote that song. I wrote, you know, the Great Canadian Love song. So, like, all these, like, different songs that we brought to the table, but we molded together and then worked with Greg Norrie in the studio and just completely lifted most of the songs to another level. So
like you were saying, you guys have gone through a lot of changes since the band started in 2004. Mm-hmm. You know, different members, different labels from different collaborations. Yep. Would you say that these changes were obstacles for you, or were they more just part of moving forward and evolving?
Both. Because, well, basically, from the beginning, it's always been sort of a struggle, because this industry is not very easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't give up. So, you know, getting your first record deal and then your album gets released and then, you know, not even a year later you get dropped and you're like, oh. So it's like, this doesn't go through the full cycle and you don't get to promote it as much as you would like to. And then it's sort of like, okay, now let's do it again. So then the second album, we sort of said, all right, let's put our money together and let's do the album ourselves, DIY. And then let's go shop it, and then doing it again. It was like, we got our album together, we caught the interest of Tommy Boy in New York City, they pick up the album, we cut a deal with them, we have another record label, it gets released, and then like 3 days later they drop us. And it was for financial reasons on their part.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're like, crap, you know, it just happened again. So then we decided, let's make some internal changes, let's just like, revamp the team and let's basically it's like, let's decide what we want to do here. And so Kiyomi and I decided we're going to continue going forward. And we met Vero and thought she was amazing. And so we got her to come in, and they've definitely been obstacles. But I think every decision we made was done purposely. Like, you know, if you make a decision in life, yeah, it might be the wrong decision, but you'll never know if you didn't do it. So I, you know, basically, we don't have any regrets, and yeah, we might have made some stupid choices in the past, but we would have never made the right choice, because you had to make a dumb choice once or twice, you know.
Mhm.
So, yeah, it's been hard, but it's been very rewarding.
Have there been any particularly memorable shows that you guys have played during your current tour? Like any favorite locations or crazy stories?
There have been tons. I can't even begin. I can just start off to say that there is a new breed of fans that are coming out, and I love them all. There are some very gutsy girls out there, and let's just say they're a lot more affectionate than they used to be.
Oh yeah.
I make a joke that I'm like, sometimes I feel like Paul McCartney, but it's I love it. I mean, I completely love it. It's interesting. Like, in Chicago, I almost felt like I was attacked,
you know?
No. In Detroit, same thing. But all very, like, it was all positive. It wasn't like they were trying to hurt us or anything like that. They just wanted a piece of you, you know what I mean? And, like, in St. Louis, I had a couple try to bid on a shirt of mine. They just wanted my shirt. And I was like, what am I going to wear? Like,
yeah, right? You don't need a shirt.
Right? Just like, things like that. And the Roxy was a really great show. It was a huge crowd, really, really, really memorable. Fresno in California, like this small town we'd never been to before, sold-out show, and everyone was just insanely into the music, like jumping up and dancing and screaming and shouting. And like, so, I mean, there's way too many cities to sort of pinpoint and say that was my favorite, because there are just so many that were my favorite, like San Antonio and Austin and, like Texas in general. Like in Dallas, we did two sets and we got to see a bunch of different fans, and you know, so Houston, like it was almost like every night was almost the same in terms of intensity, just different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, I saw you guys when you came to play, The Cellar in Vancouver here, at the end of
Vancouver.
October.
That was great too.
It was an
Vancouver
awesome show.
Was awesome.
Yeah, you guys were great.
And everybody just in the crowd was amazing, you know, and they were just so into it, and they want, and a lot of people in Vancouver, the thing that was so special about Vancouver was that we hadn't been back to Vancouver in like 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
So by going back 2 years later, there were still people that had come out 2 years ago that came to the show. So seeing those people, and it's sort of like, oh, it's so good to see you again, or, you know, so glad that you came out. And so that was sort of special, you know, getting to go out there and having a bit of familiarity. Same with Toronto, like Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal.
Hometown.
You go to these places that we've been playing for years and go back to those places, and these same people come out, and you're just so happy to see them, because it's almost like when you go to your family's house for, you know, Sunday dinner or something, you're like, good to see you again, or, you know, somebody's birthday, or... It kind of feels like when we're going to these shows where the same people come out, because it's like, I know you. Yes. You know, it's like, good to see you again. Let's go do a shot. Come on.
One thing I noticed, it seems like you guys are able to, like you've just been talking about, strike a balance between taking your music seriously but not taking yourself too seriously.
You know,
you guys, when I got a photo with you guys, you seemed, you know, relaxed and easygoing. So I like that you guys are able to, you know, kind of have fun out loud while you're doing your thing professionally. How do you stay grounded, especially with your recent kind of explosion from the L Word, from the real L Word?
I'm not going to lie. I had a couple nights where I was felt like I was going to, you know, maybe lose my mind a little bit. And it had nothing to do with the fans. It had more to do with the fact that, like, you know, I'm a big-time people person, but sometimes when you're in a van with your band for weeks on end and hours on end and days on end, and then you're in front of a crowd and you're doing that for days and days and days on end, you kind of hit a point where you're like, am I losing my mind? Or is this actually happening? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a few sort of reality checks where I had to sort of like make sure that I was sane and that I wasn't going to, you know, lose my mind. But otherwise, basically, is try to take as much alone time as possible. You know, have breakfast on your own, or, you know, maybe after sound check, you know, go and take a nap in the van or go back to the hotel. Like, go have dinner by yourself. It's like basically trying to get as much alone time as possible, because there's none of that. You don't get that. Or listen to music in the van when you're driving and got my headphones on or something, you know. So that's kind of the only way that you can stay grounded. But when you're there, those people want to see you. You want to see them too. You want to meet them. And it's not fair if one night I give it all I got after the show. Because, like, at the show, we always give it all we got. But after the show, it's not fair if, like, one night I come out and I talk to everybody I see, and then the next night I say, I gotta just go back to the hotel. Like, it's not fair. Like, you gotta give everybody the same opportunity, and so you gotta be on your game. You gotta just gotta make sure you have alone time. That's, like, the most important part.
Yeah, definitely. You gotta stay centered.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a little bit about the evolution of your music since you guys started, like the sound or the lyrics? Since when you guys, it was just you and Kiyomi in 2004 and then to now?
Yeah. Well, Kiyomi's always been the lyrical writer, and so that's sort of her domain. And on this last album, she actually, for the first time, sort of gave up a little bit of the writing in terms of, like, Lonely Crusade. That's written by Vero, and all the lyrics are written by Vero, and same with Gates of Hell. And then this is the Canadian Love Song, which is, you know, what I wrote with in terms of lyrics. But every other song that we brought to the table, or if she brought to the table, she's pretty much written all the lyrics. So this is sort of really, for her, a really big step outside that box, you know, kind of giving up. Because, you know, she's the lead singer, right? She's the one that has to sing it. She's the one that has to feel it. She's the one that has to have all the emotion. So, you know, it was really a big step for her to take on our emotions and to portray it, you know, through the music as well. And then having to feel Vero's emotion or feel my emotion. So I guess that was the biggest change in this album. But in terms of the actual music, same sort of thing. It's like we used to have Adrienne Lloyd used to be in the band, and she was a pretty big writer in the first two albums, and so not having her really write on this last album has also been a really big change. And I guess we went from polished on the first album to the second album was more like raw, gritty, rock and punk sort of, and then kind of to this album, which I think is sort of a combination of both, where, you know, some songs are a little bit polished and poppy, and some songs are ballady, and some songs are punk, and some songs are just straight up rock. And so I feel like we've sort of created a history in one album, sort of the balance between what we've been doing since the beginning.
So we appreciated getting your email. Can you tell me why you're into supporting alternative feminist media?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, I guess it's all about, for me, I'm kind of fed up with the way that the world thinks sometimes, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like there's a lot of things that we can make a lot of differences in, and there's a lot of things that haven't changed. And I've been all over the States, especially, and all over Canada, and I've been lucky enough to be able to go to Europe and other places too. But I feel like there's, you know, most of the time when, you know, I'm a female drummer, and a lot of these sort of like compliments that I get after the show sometimes and stuff like, oh, wow, you're a lot better than I thought you'd be.
Ooh.
You know, which is, yeah, you know what
yeah.
I mean? It's like that is supposed to be a compliment. You know, so it's things like that that I think need to change, you know, or like just in general, just, you know, the world has to change. You know what I mean? I know
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Definitely.
Right, and I constantly get frustrated with how many stereotypes that there are and how they still follow those things, you know. Like when Kiyomi and I, when we first started the band and we walk into certain shows and there would be these boy bands that we'd be playing with and they'd say, oh, yeah, are you here for your boyfriend's band?
Ew.
We're like, yeah. So it's like all these little things that kind of irk me, but, I mean, what are we going to do about it? I mean, I, for one, may have done one of the most, you know, dramatic things where I got topless on the streets in Brooklyn on national television, and for me that was, you know, a lot of people said to me, they're like, oh my God, that is so, you know, some people were sort of offended by it and some people weren't, and I said, you know what, to be honest with you, I didn't do it so that I can make everybody get, you know, turn them on. I said, I actually did it because I can do it and because I can take my shirt off and I can be confident that, you know, I feel like I have a beautiful body, and I feel like women should be more confident about themselves and own what you're going to do, you know, like I fully feel like I did the right thing because that's what I wanted to do at that time. And I think that women should be more comfortable with the way that they are. And unfortunately it's not legal in every city in Canada or in the United States, but I think women should be more topless because then it won't be so weird, you know, when a woman takes her shirt off.
What about the lesbian label? Like, is that something you'd want to take on, like, in, like, saying, like, female
care.
Rock band? Like, or is that something you're just kind of like, meh?
No, you know what? For me, it's, okay, if you ask this question to Kiyomi and ask this question to me, she doesn't care at all. But basically, the same answer that we're pretty much would give is that we're musicians, mm-hmm. and that's what we are. We're a female rock group. You know, yeah, I go home with girls. That's my thing. I like women. I want to marry a woman. I want to have children with a woman. Like, that's what I want, but it has nothing, just, you know, the only influence it has in our music are the pronouns, right? So it's just like, basically, I don't care if they know I'm a lesbian. I actually prefer it. I want people to know that I'm a lesbian because I don't want them to be so, you know, judgmental, I guess, but being a female rock musician is basically what I am. It's like, you know, we always ask this question, would you ever, if you're interviewing a guy in a rock band, mm-hmm. would you ever say, so, are you straight or are you gay?
Yeah, you know, that's totally true, right? It's like, why does that even have to come into play at all?
It never comes up. I mean, hardly
yeah.
do you ever see that happen. But as soon as you're female and you're a rock musician, it's like, you must be a lesbian. And it's like,
I'm going to finish off by playing a segment where Laura talks a bit about drumming and her hobbies outside of music, which may or may not include a YouTube cooking channel and whiskey shots.
Oh, okay. Now you're saying that you know, were kind of doing like some drumming and some cooking. Do you still do cooking? Like, is that something that you do in your spare time still?
I'm hardly ever home anymore now that we're on the road so much. Mm-hmm. But I am home for the next three weeks, and I am cooking for some friends, and I will be doing stuff like that. I actually have a little YouTube cooking show that's
oh, really?
Not really taking off, but it's got a few viewers, and I like doing stuff like that, making chicken or salmon or soups and filming myself and then editing it up and putting it online. So that's kind of like my fun thing that I like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I want to do one soon, so I have to figure out what I want to cook. But
so in terms of drumming, do you have any inspirations?
Current inspirations, I love Dominic Howard from Muse. Mm-hmm. He is amazing. When I first started following them, he was an open-handed drummer. And now that I watch him, he's a left-handed drummer. So it's like the same thing, basically. But he's just an incredible drummer. I can't imagine. Like, he's basically ambidextrous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way that Muse puts their stuff together. They blow me out of the water every time. Like, they just came out with an album recently, and I think it's incredible. So that's sort of like one of my biggest inspirations. But I really love Keith Moon and John Bonham from, you know, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really big inspirations. There's a lot of really great female drummers out there, too. I think Prince's drummer is a female. I don't know her name, unfortunately, but she's pretty rad if you ever watch his live performances.
Great. Okay, well, is there anything else you'd maybe like to add just about maybe to anybody that hasn't heard you guys or anything, just about your new album?
I would say definitely get the new album, but come to a show, because that's where you're going to fall in love. Like, you're going to love the album because I think it's great. But I think if you come to a show, you need to come, watch us play, feel our sweat, have a shot of whiskey. Let's do some pictures. Let's hug it out. Let's just say hi to us, you know? Like, let's just have fun, because, like, I like to have fun every day, and the fact that I get to do it every day, I want to share it with anyone else that wants to. So just get your butts out to a show and let's party.
I'm Katie Schofield. Thank you so much for tuning in to the F Word today and checking out some great female Canadian musicians with us. Shout out to Hunter Valentine, and thanks again to Laura Petraca for giving us some insight into the experiences of her and her bandmates.
You can hear us live every Monday at 12 noon on Vancouver's Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, or you can listen online at cooperadio.org. If you have comments or feedback, you can email us at feminisms@gmail.com. If you miss the show, you can find podcasts at feminisms.org, and there you can also learn more about us, check out our blog, and information about upcoming shows. The F Word is syndicated at Pacifica Radio and airs in Texas on KEOS Community Radio 89.1 FM, in Michigan on Public Reality Radio, WPRR 95.3 FM, and in Winnipeg, Manitoba on CJUM 101.5 FM. Pacifica is a listener-supported community radio network of commercial-free stations. Go to pacifica.org for more information. And if you like the show, you can request that your local station includes the F Word in their programming. This is Hunter Valentine's The Great Canadian Love Song.
If I could say it's been so long since I've seen you happy.